What's going on, guys? Welcome to the show. Welcome to yet another Wednesday night. We're back at season 4, episode 2 of the AfterBuzz TV After Show for the 100. Or the 100. I think it's just the 100. Heavy Lies the Crown is the title of the episode. I'm here with Alexis Torres. We're going to break the whole thing down for you. We'll see you guys in just one quick second.
You're tuning into the destination for TV superfan discussion, AfterBuzz TV. And now, let the buzz begin. And he can see
no reasons, cause there are. I love how this was just like the song for the entire. I miss doing the show with you.
I just like talked about the title of the show as though I didn't actually know, and then realized while talking about it, like, it's the 100.
Yeah.
It's not the 100. Right? You don't know either.
I thought it was just the 100.
Yeah.
No?
Now you're questioning yourself.
I'm going to say it's the 100, period.
I think it's the 100. I mean, yeah. That's always what I assume. Welcome back, guys. We know what we're doing.
Yay!
This is the AfterBuzz TV After Show for the 100. Season 4, Episode 2, Heavy Lies the Crown. The whole idea of being, we're back, bitches. We actually are.
We actually are back because the two of us are here. I'm sorry I missed last week and left you by your lonesome. You did so well, though.
I did a solo. It was weird. It was weird to sit here and talk to. This is something I noticed. So the screen, for those of you listening or watching that may, like last week, I've noticed this. The screen's up here. Like, I'm pointing at the screen now.
That.
So, because I was listening to people and having conversations,
you were looking up.
I was like talking to the mic and kind of looking up at my eyes. And I just looked like angry and bored a lot of the time because of the way my eyes were looking up at the screen.
Yeah.
It's hard to understand if you're watching, like, what the layout of the studio looks like from this perspective.
Mm-hmm.
But it's a lesson learned, folks.
It's all good. I just did a solo show 2 hours ago and I did the same thing. And everyone's like, are you sad? And
right.
I was like, no. I'm literally just paying attention to people who are talking up there. I'm sorry.
And hello to anybody in the chat who's following.
Yeah, we have Renji, MJ, Marsha, and Marilyn.
What's up, guys? How you doing?
Yeah, and Por Amor al Porico. Hope I said that correctly. I'm so sorry if I ruined that.
So, guys, this is AfterBuzz TV. We do after shows for all of the best shows on television, and this is season 4 of The 100. This was my first after show I ever did here. I've said this on air before. It's my first day.
Babyface.
Tari J, who's now not doing this one anymore with us, because I think it's Arrow is
the Arrow's at the same time.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, so he has to do that one. He was the former third host. It's just the two of us this season, and let's get the whole thing. And if you guys want to follow along with the conversation, you can tweet along with us. You can follow me at Ben Bateman Media.
And you can follow me at atorres890. That's A-T-O-R-R-E-S 890.
And if you give us a rating or review in iTunes, it's really helpful to stay high in the standings for us because that's what keeps the lights on here. We don't get paid to do this. We just do this for fun. And
we love the show.
And yeah, they have to, you know, keep the studio open. So if you give us a rating or review, it keeps us, you know, high in the standings. That's kind of the deal. So The 100, Season 4, Episode 2. Bunch of stuff happening. The world's going to end pretty soon. This one opens up with like a flashback moment with a kid named Ilian, who it's really graphic. And his mom's like chained up and he's like, hey, mom, take the chip. She's like, no. So then he shows it looks like he's killed one sibling.
Yeah, he killed his brother and he killed his father.
Yeah. So he killed his father.
Mm-hmm.
Then he slits the throat of his brother, almost slits his own throat. And correct me if I'm wrong, but it looked like Allie was like, Clark, don't, and then he wakes up, and so that's the moment in the City of Light.
Yes.
Right, so that's, we're supposed to be back in that moment. So
mm-hmm.
he's like a disenfranchised kid who was part of the City of Light movement.
Yeah, and
Jaha's cult.
And then woke up.
And then he woke up, and now he's like, I seek revenge on these people who are associated with Sky Crew.
Yeah, because the mom said, avenge me, so he's like, I am out to
right.
do what my mom told me to do. And it's, I think the one thing, we'll get more into it as we recap more of the episode, I think the one thing since last episode and this one, since I didn't get to talk about it, was I love that we're getting more of the grounder language. Like, it's not just, like, a few words in here, or maybe a few lines. Like, we're actually getting long pieces of dialogue. Because even in the past seasons, we have it. But it's not as prominent as it was where we have an entire scene, like a full entire scene. I know that I'm probably not talking, I'm probably forgetting a few scenes from the past few seasons where we did do it. But I just feel like it was how we just started the episode, where it was continuous grounder language the entire time. And then we got to, I think it was Kane and Abby was our first people.
Yeah, there were moments in older seasons, but definitely I agree with you, the way this opened up, it's just like you're supposed to just take it, and this is what it is, this is totally acceptable.
I appreciate it.
Yeah, I also mentioned last week, I asked in on the show, because there was a reference to all the other clans, if we had actually heard by name a lot of the clans, and I looked on Wiki and I found the names, but the Trishana crew is not one I think we had heard about before.
This is at least new for me.
Yeah, I'm fairly certain this is brand new. So we had this ambassador from Trishana crew who shows up to Polis, and this is where we have a training Prince Rowan, who is and he's, well, he's trained because he gets challenged by this ambassador.
Yeah, which because of the fact that he's tired and he wants Sky Crew to finally like be kicked out, since obviously that's where we kind of left things off with Sky Crew being pretty much like, we're done with you.
But Rowan's got this thing where he's like, I made this deal, so I got to give him the benefit of the doubt. And the ambassador's like, Sky Crew's the worst. I'm going to kill you. And Rowan's like, I'm not really healthy enough to train, but I guess I'll train.
But I think it's interesting that that he's completely just like, no, this is... I mean, obviously we know the ulterior motive of why he wants to not be the one... or to be the one that actually does the challenge instead of having, let's say, Echo do it or Octavia or whoever, which in my brain I was like, well, if we want to keep Rowan alive, we should probably have somebody else do it. But I understand also there's pride. He is a king, and obviously because he's like, I'm buying you time. Find me another way. Find us another way for us to survive.
Yeah, well, I mean, he's not that tough, though, because, like, Lexa kicked his ass, and he didn't even have a hole in his chest.
So I know, and that's why I was like, you should just let literally anybody else. But I love that literally the only people I can think of that can fight for him is two badass women, which is Echo and Octavia.
Which is this show.
Which I'm totally fine. Like, you guys know that. I'm totally fine with that.
We had the discussion last week on the show, Mackenzie, who actually called in last week. That was so much fun.
Hi, Mackenzie.
It was great. She was awesome. And I asked her point blank, does Zach McGowan now have the best set of abs on the show?
Ha! And oh my gosh, yeah, we used to play that game. I forgot about that because it was Ricky.
Yeah,
I miss you.
You can't beat Ricky. But
but he's also, you know, in American Gods right now. So.
Yeah. I mean, Zach's pretty. He's pretty smoking. Mm-hmm. He can cut glass.
Yeah, I just feel bad that his character's just. I mean, I'm not saying that his character is terrible, but I'm just like, it just sucks that he can't get a break. You know, he's like, oh man, I got my ass kicked by, of course, the queen of all queens, Lexa, and then. And then now Echo's just like, you suck.
Yeah, totally.
So, but I mean, obviously he hasn't had time to heal. Like, you can even tell from, I love the special effects makeup of his actual wound. Like, it's not even completely closed up yet.
Yeah.
It's kind of, it's not even scabbed over. Like, it's pretty gruesome.
One of my favorite things is that the reason that, we know that the ambassador's going to challenge Rowan is that Octavia... Sleuth Assassin's Creed Octavia.
I tweeted out. I was like, "So new one, Hata Octavia."
She's so badass. I said this last week, but like, they just increasingly give her like all the best moments in the show. She just gets to be basically her and Indra get to be. I mean, Indra not so much recently, but but yeah, like Octavia just gets to be such a badass.
But I love it that the fact that we always talk about the fact that Octavia has grown in so much as a character. But I love that the fact that they're not giving her as drastic of a change like with Jasper. Like the fact that he obviously went through grief, so he was going through his griefing stage, and now he's kind of in that weird like, I'm just going to go with whatever now because we're going to die anyway kind of thing, which is that weird grieving stage of acceptance, but also also in denial. It's like that weird thin line, you know, which everybody goes through when you lose somebody or lose a lot of people and see a lot of death. So it's nice that she's not this, you know, she's just like, this is literally her continuing arc. She's just kind of at the tip now. And then something might happen after the fact that we lost Lincoln.
Right. So yeah, she's pretty like, she's just like pretty angry and she's intent on revenge and she doesn't really seem to want to take crap from anybody. And
she shouldn't.
And I love the way that she just was like, you know what? Like this is a silly arrangement and I know I can kill this guy. So I'm just going to do it. I'm going to go in there and warn him and then I'm just going to take care of business. But iconic. Did you get the feeling a little bit from the look at the end there? It's not going to go well for her.
I mean, I'm afraid for her because Octavia also doesn't understand her consequences of her acting, not acting out. That's not a good term, but the fact of her being able to stand on her own feet, which is awesome. But I'm also scared because she's also in that weird range of Jasper where she's not thinking about what the end result is. She's more thinking of like what I need to do right now, which is fine.
Right.
But I also don't want to see her in a situation where like last season where she was being, you know, pushed around at some point and they're, you know, being used as kind of like bait in certain ways. Like it just, I know that that's probably not going to happen for her here. I'm just also scared of what my prediction, not to get into it, is that Echo and her are going to fight at one point and it's going to be bloody and it's going to be great and terrible at the same time.
Well, hopefully she takes care of business, and I think she will.
I think she will. But again, I also would like to see Octavia, because she's been on a high for a good hot minute, that I would like to see her actually have a challenge. You know what I mean? You know, again, I'm not saying that I want to see her fall. I would just like to see her be like, oh, I actually have to really put in an extra amount of effort. Yeah. So again, I'm not saying that she's a terrible, you know, whatever. Yeah. I'm just saying I would like a challenge for her.
Yeah, flashback to that sweet fight in the rain she had with Indra, right? When she's
Yeah, and that was amazing. That's probably my favorite Octavia moment of all time, is the fact that she didn't win that fight, technically, and then eventually she grew into this beautiful warrior princess. Well, not princess, but you know what I mean. Warrior, and now she is a badass, but I think it's time to hit that next boss fight
Head. She pulled a Tom Cruise in Last Samurai.
Oh, my gosh.
And she just became, she became respected. And then,
So, like, the fact that she is an assassin now, again, the whole point, especially as a martial artist, you could get your black belt, but that's why there's multiple black belts, because you have to hit certain levels. And I want to see her next one, if that makes sense.
Definitely. Yeah. So, moving on to the other major plot line that we have going on, we had a little quick flash of Cabbie, and we'll get to that at the end of the episode.
I was like, ooh, hello.
Yeah, that was good.
Yes. Also, get off my cane. Just kidding.
We have, like, a mounting mission that stems from what's going on back at Arcadia, where basically Clark is trying to, like, organize people, and Raven's like, okay, we need to patch all the stuff on, because we're gonna have to survive inside this ship, and this is gonna thing that's gonna get us through nuclear winter, and this is what's gonna happen. So
I love that nuclear winter is coming. It's kind of great.
Yeah, like, we need a hydro generator, and we all and Jasper is just like, just once again.
I didn't mean to interrupt you, but like, I just love how the fact that we had a completely different Jasper last season, and now. Yeah. He is like, everything's fine, I'm showering, I'm smiling. Like, it's nice to see him smiling again, but it also, again, worries me.
Well, after last week when he had the gun up to do the suicide move.
Which was insane, right. But, like, again, it's that weird spectrum of anxiety, depression, where you're kind of going through moods. And it's not important, it's just, this is what happens. And he just kind of sees it as, I'm going to live for the moment.
Yeah.
And this is what's going to happen.
Yeah, definitely.
Yeah.
So Jasper's jumping around and he's wasting water and he's just kind of having a good time and singing the Mondays song.
I love it.
And at the same time, they're like, we have to go mount this mission to go get a hydro generator, because otherwise people won't last here. And so,
also weed, apparently. Gotta go find that weed.
Oh yeah, he's gotta get some weed.
Yeah.
So Bellamy gets a whole gang together to go to Farm Station.
Bluff.
Yeah, to go try to negotiate for this hydro generator so they can all stay alive. And so you have, like, Miller and his boyfriend.
Brian,
yes. Mm-hmm. And you know, Brian's like, I'm going to go anyway, even though my leg's bum.
But it's interesting because the fact that in the past few seasons, we either A, saw them separate, or then B, we did see them together. They're very lovey-dovey, and we're happy that they were finally together. And then obviously after his injury, or what happened, now you can kind of see that there is a lot of tension in between, even though we didn't get a lot of maybe seeing them as he was healing. But it looks like there's definitely some tension between them, and I think it just got worse.
Yeah, I mean, they were on opposite sides when Pike was involved, which was a real bummer, and that sucks. It's a good television representation of what happens in real life when you obviously have a really inflammatory political situation playing out in front of us in our country right now. A lot of people on both sides of it that are not happy. And, you know, there are couples that, like, were on either side of that. There had to have been.
Oh, yeah. And there was, like, there's definitely, like, videos and articles and stuff of people who were in, like, mixed relationships and stuff like that where, you know, there's that whole thing. And then, like, I know that, like, my fiance and I, we have the same political views, but our families have different political views.
Yeah.
So, like, that's a whole can of worms I don't want to get into.
Right,
but, happens.
So the line is drawn, and it causes friction, as you see with these characters. And so, obviously, there's this kind of dichotomy where one half of these characters believes in sort of, like, vengeance and you know, protecting the people closest to you, and the other half is just like the greater good. You know, we can't focus on the small stuff, we have to go macro, we can't be all so micro, and that's the so this results in them getting taken captive by Azgeda, and they end up in Farm Station, and they're sort of negotiating. It looks like they're gonna get the hydro generator, and Bellamy is faced with this decision to either save these friends of theirs that they find are chained up and being held captive and forced to work, or blow up the hydro generator and get and in theory blowing it up would mean getting everybody out. Like a little bit of a loose thing. It was like, a giant explosion would create a distraction and hopefully not kill any of you, but also like a giant explosion doesn't guarantee you guys are going to be able to all get out. Mm-hmm. Right. I mean, it was kind of a dicey move. Like, let's blow up our only means to everyone surviving and hope that it means we can save the prisoners.
So, yeah. So Melissa in the chat actually had the same exact idea that I had that was going through my head when this was happening. I understand where Bellamy's coming from, and I understand where Brian and Harper were in the fact that, like, we can't leave them there. In my head, I was thinking, again, Melissa brought up a really good point in the chat, which there's a lot to read, so I'm going to kind of summarize it, is the fact that I felt like we could have gotten both.
Yeah, right.
So what I was thinking was, technically, I don't know how many people were in the farm station that were of grounder descent, besides the prisoners, because there was a lot of slaves.
Right.
So in my brain, I was thinking they could have taken our machine, gone back, or kill everybody, taken the machine, gone back, came back, got everybody out, and then left. Or they could have all left together if they all fought together, was another thing. I mean, again, this is me absolutely nitpicking and everything, so you can take my opinion with a grain of salt, but I felt like we could have been able to maybe, you know, like, oh, I need an axe to take this part off or something. Okay, here you go. And then just, like, hacked away at the chains. They revolt, and then do that. But, I mean, obviously, we would have lost lives, too. Like, there's... Either way, someone would... Everybody... Not everybody, but somebody... There would have been a casualty either way, whether it was from the... from the prisoners or from the actual grounders themselves.
Yeah, I thought it was a little bit loose plotting there to draw that correlation that you had to blow up this hydro generator to potentially save every one of these prisoners. I thought that was a little bit loose, but it's an interesting position they put Bellamy in because his character choices are sort of revolving around this a little bit this idea of wanting to make everyone like him, but also morally to be good to like sort of be good to what he believes is the code that he should be following.
I also think that he's trying to rekindle the relationships and friendships that he ruined last season because of the fact that he was so like, no, we have to, you know, kick people out. Like, he obviously was bad Bellamy, as a lot of people are calling him. And I think that this is his redemption of like, I want to save everybody as much as I can. Like his phrase, we save who we can save at the time, or I can't remember the exact actual phrase, but like, you know what I mean? Like, he was just kind of like, I understand what you're doing. I feel like there's a better way to talk about it instead of just doing that. And that's why it was hard for me to agree with him on this to a point, because I was with Monty on this where I was like, okay, big picture, we have 500 people. We have 25 people here. Again, I'm not saying that we should kill the 25 people here, but we should figure out a better way to see if we can try to do both.
Well, this is what I mean when I say that I think Bellamy is caught now because... So Bellamy's now made strong decisions, mm-hmm. strong meaning difficult, like big decisions, that have kind of come back to bite him a little bit based on this idea that he was sort of seeking vengeance and he was following Pike's lead. And that didn't really work out so well in terms of being viewed as a good person. So he sees this opportunity now to, I think, kind of do the other thing. But I think in seeing the opportunity to do the other thing, like the way he said to Clark and to Raven at the end, I made the call, you know? I gave the call. And they're like, well, we're going to have to live with your call. And I think that that's pretty interesting because he's like, he can't really win. It's like a lose-lose. You're either going to let down the main protagonists of the show. Or you're going to let down all of the people that believe in the good of saving people you love and that these 25 people. Like, he's in a difficult position. It's hard to make that character look good. They've put Bellamy's character in a really difficult position.
Yeah, and everybody in the chat's kind of on half and half. A lot of people think that we could have found a third option. Like Renji said, like I said, Melissa was like, I feel like we could have figured out another way. Marsha agreed with Melissa. I also agree with Renji where, you know, we can talk about Clark at the very end about her half-truth.
Right,
hope speech. Someone could have, MJ was like, yes, someone could have been a lookout and shadowed the transport of the prisoners while, you know, they got reinforcements. I was like, yeah, we could have waited. You know, I feel like in my brain, when they said they were moving, I didn't think that they were trying to kill them. I thought they were just trying to go, okay, now that Sky Crew knows where we are, we need to find a new location. Maybe have, Miller and Brian stay there, watch where they're going. I mean, obviously they got caught right away, but maybe be a little bit better about that. And watch where they go, come back, tell them where they're moving, and then that would be one episode is them trying to get to the prisoners and take them out, or get them out. I guess.
Do you find it as interesting as I do that Clark and Bellamy are supposed to be the two pillars of the show, the male and the female lead of the show?
Yes.
Clark seems to consistently be making these decisions that people kind of resent her for, and they kind of think that she's the commander of death and all these things, but she's sort of, she's the lead. It's like her decision-making tends to be what, like, in some way saves the day over and over again. Like, even if it's like not like in the most obvious way, you know, killing the City of Light causes a nuclear winter. Like, it's not like it's a perfect save, but Clark sort of constantly seems to be doing that. Whereas Bellamy's decisions, it feels like they're less consequential. But he's supposed to, like, do you know what I mean?
I mean, yeah, I kind of get that to a point, because the fact of, like, Bellamy not thinking a big picture, and then there wasn't really a consequence because we, I don't know. Yeah, like, I feel like he sometimes comes unscathed on certain things, and there's sometimes where I'm like, oh, wow, you really messed it up for everybody. So I feel like it's, I don't know, you know, it's like a back and forth sometimes.
They put him in a weird position, I think, in this show.
Oh, I was so upset when they were like, Bellamy, it's up to you. And I was like, of course it's up to Bellamy. Dang it.
It just feels like over and over again, they put him in a position where it's like, Clark gets to be a martyr when she makes a bad decision. Bellamy gets to be, an asshole, basically.
I know, and it's rough because we also had a lot, like, how Jasper is, and now the fact that he's like, oh, what did Clark do now, or what's Clark deciding now, kind of thing. So, like, we do have a few people who, we did have a good majority of people who did not like Clark for a while because of her decisions, and then now it's like, oh, Clark's back in command. It feels like she's never really out of command the entire time, and then when Bellamy is in command, they're like, no, how dare you, or something like that. And so, I don't know. I feel like it's a lot of tossing back and forth.
Yeah, definitely, so, definitely. Yeah. And, you know, and then you had Monty, who gets the opportunity to kill the dude that killed his dad, and he ends up just freeing the slaves, and they tear the guy apart limb from limb.
And that's what I'm saying. I feel like we could have done that in the beginning and maybe gotten a revolt, but again, we probably would have lost some people on the way, but, I mean,
somehow their explosion, like, perfectly timed and blew up some things, or I wasn't really sure.
I just didn't know how many people from the Ice Nation was in Farm Station, was what I was trying to figure out, because clearly they blew up a good portion of it.
Yeah.
And then everybody who was behind the wall was okay, and it looked like there was only just one person.
Yeah,
I wasn't really sure. I mean, again, I don't know. It was kind of fast, so I couldn't really understand what was going on completely, besides the fact that they went Walking Dead and pretty much just ripped him limb from limb. But yeah, I don't know. I feel like this is going to be interesting to see, because at the very end of the episode, they looked like they were kind of on the same page, even though they technically weren't. So I was like, I don't know what's going to happen in the future, and see if this is going to be a continuous thing where they are going to continue to butt heads.
Right.
Or if we're actually going to get them on the same page. It's really pretty much up in the air at this point.
So back at Arcadia, we've got a situation where Clark has had this conversation with Jaha. Mm-hmm. Jaha kind of waltzes in, and he's like, tell me what's going on, I'm here to help. And Clark's like, you know, whatever, you can help. And so he points out all these things. He's like, poly blah blah dabba gabba dabba, all these different kinds of chemicals.
Yeah.
Polyphenol and methylene.
If you guys know what it is, you guys can throw it in the chat, because I don't know exactly what it was, but it seemed like it was something that they, like, Raven was planning something as, like, a...
Yeah.
Yeah.
And so he's like, I was an engineer. I designed things, so I know what's going on. And he gets into a really interesting conversation with Clark. You know, Raven gets pissed at him, and she's like,
she has a right.
Yeah, and she's like, how many people died in the culling when you sucked the air out of their lungs? And I love that Jaha says 42. Would you like to know their names?
That's the crazy thing is, from Jaha's, the character itself, because Isaiah Washington's amazing, but, like, Jaha itself has gone in such a crazy way, because we had Chancellor Jaha, then we had Crazy Jaha.
Don't forget Trapped on the Ship.
That's what I'm saying. Like,
rides
crazy.
Rides a rocket to Earth Jaha.
Like, insane, not in his right mind Jaha. And then immediately when he makes it to Earth, he's, like, immediately put into a cult. And now he's here.
Oh, yes, no. He's had, like, such a crazy story. He had to, like, fight with Kane
when we first meet Lexa. I still can't forget that, yeah.
In that prison. And then he gets out, and he's like, I'm going to find the City of Light, John.
Yeah, and I was like, okay. And then all of a sudden he found the City of Light, and then all of a sudden he's like, let's, you know, communion for you. You get a chip. Everybody becomes the Oprah of chips. And I was like, this is... Jaha has been through so much, but he... But the fact that he could still stay stone, cold-faced, look you in the eye and go... 42, do you need anything else? And I'm like...
I was shocked.
Isaiah Washington, why?
I was shocked. I'm just shocked he's still alive. But I love that... I like his shorter hair. I like his...
Oh, he looks great. He looks like... He pretty much looks like an assassin now. But he also looks like one of those enlightened assassins where he's just like, yeah, I've seen terrible things and...
Yeah.
I'm here, deal with it. And I'm like, what is happening? You're like a robot.
Yeah. I like Isaiah Washington. So back, we have this conversation that he has with Clark where he's just kind of like, so look, when you start out as chancellor, you don't want to make these tough decisions. You know, the decisions you make whittle you down. No leader starts out wanting to lie to and manipulate, you know, his people. But these are the decisions you have to make. And we see this reflected really well at the end of the episode when Clark's like, well, I'm just going to lie to everyone and tell them it's going to be OK. So they'll work, because otherwise they're not going to listen to me. And I give you my word, she says.
Every time when Clark starts doing that, I'm always like, girl, I feel like we're going to get into some trouble with you telling people that was your word and it really wasn't.
Sometimes hope is more important than truth, she says.
I mean, but that's the thing is that, who said that in there? Adam quoted Spock in the chat where he said people are illogical and, you know, sometimes it depends. So I love the conversation that we're having in the chat of, like, a leader sometimes has to paint a different picture in order to get the people to, you know, do that, because obviously if you tell people the truth, sometimes panic ensues and then things can actually become worse.
Right.
And then there's obviously the other side where it's like, no, maybe they might actually understand and maybe be able to help you a little bit better. So, but that's the hardest thing about any leader, whether you're a politician or just someone who's just in charge of a village or whatever, is just finding that right balance of like, what can I tell them enough for them to understand what's happening, but also get them to help me figure this out.
Yeah.
So, and the fact that, again, Clark is also still, I mean, like, I always forget how old everybody is, so if you know in the chat, put it in there, but, like, I always feel like these guys are still in their, like, mid to early 20s, so it's kind of hard to be like, I have 500 people's lives in my hands.
I feel like they're all still, like, 18.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. Like, I don't know how old they are, because I don't, like, time passes so weird for me, because for us, it's, like, years, yeah. And then for them, it's, like, days.
I think I think they're all supposed to still be, like, high school age. Like,
yeah, I think they're supposed to be, like, early college, I feel like. Like, 17, 18, 19. And 19.
Yeah, maybe Bellamy's, like, 20. Yeah.
Yeah, so I feel like that's a lot on someone's shoulders if you're 18 years old going, okay, how do I tell 500 people that we could die in 6 months?
Yeah. Ooh, that was loud.
No, you're fine.
That was a whistle. There was a whistle in my teeth.
That was beautiful.
Yeah, I do think it's interesting that, you know, I like that Jasper, as annoying as I find him this season, I love that he says to Monty, tell me about another pointless task Clark has roped you into.
Yeah, like, that's what I'm talking about.
He's just like, yeah, I mean, he's figured her out. He's just like, I don't trust you. You
get, and again, he's just trying to get through just getting through day to day. He's like, I'm just going to be here.
Wasting, you know, water.
Yeah. I'm like, dude, like, I understand that you want to take a shower and sing. That's totally fine. You can do that without the shower running.
He's just the worst.
I know.
he's my least favorite character at this point. Let's move into...
I'm just happy that he's happy.
Let's move into some lighthouse stuff. We got just a couple little moments.
We got them ships!
We got a little handhold. The lighthouse guys, the ships, we're watching them.
Yeah, if anyone who's new to our after show, Tari and Ben started this awesome thing called The Lighthouses, where we talk about our ships. And I love that you wrote on the thing, what does it say? Is that say...
Lighthouse.
Lighthouse? Okay. Where we have Cabby.
We have Cabby. That's a good one. And that's
I was like, ooh, hello, sexy, and I like it.
It's the first one we've ever gotten, right?
Yeah, so far, yeah, because it's only been two episodes, and I don't think, I mean, we technically had Monty, right? Monty and Harper?
Oh, no, I mean the first of theirs.
Oh, yes. We had the kiss last season, right?
Yeah, and then we had Monty and Harper to open up the season.
Oh, yeah, I was like, oh, okay.
Marper, we have some Marper action.
Oh, is that what they're called? Oh, that's adorable.
Some Cabby action. We got a Marper handhold tonight.
Yeah, and I like the fact that they're together, and I also like that Monty hasn't really changed that much. Like, he's still good at heart, even though he's seen a lot of crap, but he's also has tougher skin now because of it.
Is it Biller or Briller?
Briller?
Brian and Miller?
Oh, I don't know.
I guess his name's not Miller. It's not Brian Miller. It would be...
I call him Miller, so I don't know what his first name is.
Nate Nathan? No, I haven't written
down. Nate.
Nate.
So... Oh, that's
Nine,
weird.
Nyan Brait?
Brait, maybe. I don't know. I still call him Miller, so yeah. I'm fine with Briller.
I don't know if I've got... I don't really ship...
Come
I,
at
I
me, Tumblr.
I don't really have a ship that I'm like with those two, but I do ship Marper. I like them a lot.
Yeah, they're adorable. I also like the fact that, remember when we were like, oh man, what's going on with this Harper chick? And now she's like in
she's
it.
Big time.
I love it. It makes me so happy. But no, I love that we're getting a very... I love the discussion between Kane and Abby about her wedding ring. or his wedding ring, I'm sorry, of her first husband, Clark's dad, and the fact that he was so understanding. He's like, hey, he's always going to be a part of it. Yeah, and I was like, oh, this is why I love you, Kane, and I'm also kind of really upset that you have a ship now, but it's okay.
Yeah, you love him. Because
I love him so much. I love that he kept the scrub.
The beard, yeah, the beard's an important part.
So nice, guys. But yeah, I love that he's, again, the fact that he's still a leader and understands everything, but he also can have that soft side of like, hey, I totally understand. Even though we're in love and we're having a good time, we're also, you know, I don't want to take that part out of your story.
I'm seeing Briller up here.
Okay. Yay. Oh, Nathaniel Miller. Yeah, that'd be kind of weird, Nathaniel and Brian.
Yeah.
I think I'm going to stick with Briller. Yeah. I think that's great. Thanks, guys.
Brathaniel.
Who's Riley?
So that's pretty much it for the ships. We didn't get a whole lot of craziness. I'm still waiting for anything to ever happen with Raven on the show that's not just ripped away or just turns out to just be
worst. We need to give her time. I think that they're just trying to establish that she's really stressed out because she has a lot of work ahead of her. And, you know, she's also still dealing with her leg, which is going to be a part of her character forever now.
And she's also a super hacker now.
So mm-hmm. I love that her she can just put that on the job apps for like the next
skill, she can read the Matrix. Let's get into predictions to wrap up the show.
AfterBuzz TV predictions. So it looks like we actually only have 2 months, not six, from the preview.
Oh yeah.
The fact that people are starting to cough up black.
Well, and then the final shot of last week with the exploding radioactive people at the very end.
Yep. Well, yeah, because that was intense. I was like, oh my god. But yeah, but like pretty much we only have 2 months. It's obviously spreading faster, even though we did get that little glimpse from last episode that it was coming. But I thought, like, even with her exploding, I thought we would have at least 3 or 4 months, not two. But I like that we're raising the stakes 3 episodes in.
Yeah.
I think it's going to be very interesting to see what happens after that. But I'm also intrigued because Jaha's like, there's a bunker. And I'm like, I don't like where this is going, guys. Yeah, it's a trap. It's a trap. I mean, I'm hoping that Jaha has just completely learned from everything.
And he's good,
like,
now.
I feel like he's always been good. He's just been manipulated too much. This poor man. So,
those are my sins. I have to live with them.
Oh my god. It's just like, I just love how he's slowly just becoming a priest at this point.
Yeah, he's a weird character at this point.
But whatever, I'm okay with it. Crazy Jaha, priest Jaha, whatever.
I think Octavia's going to get in a lot of trouble. I think that's my big prediction.
Well, that's what I think, that she's going to have to end up doing a battle at one point. Or, not a battle, what is it called? A challenge.
Yeah, battle challenge. I mean, I don't think they're going to do anything where she gets, like, assassinated. But, like, she might be the death that they're getting ready to...
No way. I don't think they kill her.
She's too important?
Yeah. I would be very surprised if they decide to kill Octavia in this season. Yeah. That would be very interesting. I still think Jasper's going to die at one point. I don't care how happy he is. Yeah. It's going to happen. Sorry, guys. I like Jasper. You guys know that. No. I don't think he's going to make it.
Hmm. Yeah, I mean, it is kind of like sci-fi Game of Thrones, this show. But I don't think they'll kill Octavia. But the look she got, that was a classic. That was a classic "you're in a lot of trouble" look.
Especially from Echo, because she's like, I know you're doing something, or you had something to do with this. Yeah. So, I think there's going to be an Echo-Octavia fight. She's going to get injured or really, really hurt, and that might put her out, maybe.
Yeah, what I'm trying to figure out is, like, they have to stop. So there's two options, because they have to stop the nuclear disaster from happening, but it's already happening. So... otherwise, they're going to be stuck inside Arcadia and a bunker for eternity, because...
Oh, yeah, I don't think that's going to happen. Maybe for a little bit.
Yeah, well, I mean, that's what would happen. It's not like you can... Or they have to go back to space or something. I mean...
I don't know how they'd be able to do that, but you never know.
So that's kind of what I was thinking, is like...
The chat said, what about Murphy? What about...
And Antari?
Yeah, what's going on with
Amori, them? Amori, sorry. Yeah. We didn't see them this episode. I mean, we just saw them for a second last episode, but he was like, I have a better idea, let's get out of here, so I'm sure they'll pick up with them next week a little bit.
I hope so, because, I mean, we didn't get to see them in the preview, but I'm hoping that we also get to see them later on in the season, because I'm just like, whatever happened to Murphy? We didn't really get much of them.
Yeah.
But, yes, I know the fact that he did run off with his new lady, but I would like to know if he's coming back.
Yeah.
Personally. But no, I agree with you. I think Octavia's in a lot of trouble. I don't think she's going to die, but I definitely think that she's going to have her hands full with Echo, for sure.
Yeah, that's the big one. So that pretty much does it for mine. Anything else for you?
No, I'm really excited to see where the season goes. I'm happy that we're back. Definitely don't forget, next month you and I are going to be at Klexicon.
Oh yeah, Klexicon. We're going to be there next the 3rd to the 5th. Third to the 5th of March. We're going to be Vegas, baby. So buy your tickets now and come hang out with us. We'll be doing all kinds of fun stuff there. It's an awesome, awesome convention. They're just booking guest after guest after guest.
You guys should check it out for sure. So, Klexicon.com, I believe.
Yeah, it's super cool. Guys, thanks for watching, and we will see you next week.
Bye, guys.
From executive producers Maria Menounos, Kevin Undergaro, Phil Svitek, and the entire AfterBuzz TV staff, we would like to thank you for listening to the AfterBuzz TV Network. To watch or listen to other after shows and post comments or questions, be sure to visit AfterBuzzTV.com. I'm Sir Richard Wentworth, and this has been a presentation of AfterBuzz TV.
Buzz you later.
The views expressed herein are those of the host only. Do not necessarily reflect the views of AfterBuzz TV or its owners or principals. We'll be right back.